I am so excited to be with you guys. I'm so excited to be, hi, look around you. Look at around you, look at all these beautiful faces. Look at all these beautiful women. This is a really, really fun talk, but the problem is I only need 6 hours. And so I'm just gonna go, right? Let's do it, right? Okay, so this is the women's talk. Don't you love it when people come up to you and are like, being a woman is so amazing. It's so easy, so fun. Like, you're a feminine genius. Don't you love the book Privilege of Being a Woman? Don't you want, do you guys know? No? Yes, no? It's like, dude, there are not enough Oreos in the world for you to say that, right? My preferred way to have this talk is around my kitchen island with cookie dough, yes? But it's okay. We have some peanut butter M&Ms circulating, so share. I know that in your head, it's like, yeah, privilege to be a woman. Yeah, this is great. Let's rock this. And then my friend Chris Stefanik always says, like, you know, your mind is a dangerous neighborhood. Don't go in alone, right? I think for women, it's like, no, it's like a gang. It's like you're going to get shot up, right? Like, it's just a bad place. Because I can stand on a stage and be like, oh, it's like being a woman, like femininity, it rocks. Like, let's rock this. Let's do this, right? But it's not always that easy. And there's a lot of things that go on in your mind, you know? What does, you know, you kind of look at these people and you say, like, no, I'm fine, I'm good, busy. Like, how you doing? Oh, so good, busy, good, fine. Fine actually stands for freaked out, insecure, nervous, and exhausted. So we all not fine, right? What goes on in your head is probably something a little more like this. I'm not enough. I will never be enough. If only I had. If only I could get their attention. If only they could see me, then I'd. No one will ever love me and accept me, especially now that I've. She's got everything she wants. All she has to do is snap her fingers, and it's so easy for them. They don't have to deal with. You guys, these are thoughts that run through all of our heads at different times. It's so easy to look around and be like, the attack is real. I'm not going to stand up here for a minute and say that it's easy to be a woman. But I'm going to go after this like a freight train because I love you. And I'm going to fight for you. And so this is how we're going to do it. I call it the three C's. We are going to talk about control, confusion, and competition. Because, the attack is real. I could talk about 15,000 things that attack us. But I think these three are the ones that it kind of boils down to, right? And we're going to answer it with truth, trust, and a tribe. Yes? Competition. That's where I want to start. It's so hard as a woman, right? Because you look at other women and you're like, man, I want that. If you have curly hair, you want straight hair. If you have straight hair, you want curly hair. If you're tall, you want to be short. If you're short, you want to be tall. If you have a big chest, you want a small chest. If you have a small chest, you want a big chest. If you have a big butt, you want a small butt. If you have a small butt, you want a big butt. They have things you can put. It's unbelievable. I've never seen it, like the bionic booty is a real thing, right? Like if you, I've watched so many women, right? I loved, when I was doing ministry at Benedictine, I was a dorm director. Like, I lived in a college women's dorm with 148 18-year-old women for 3 years. And I remember walking into the bathroom and, like, hanging out, and there would be girls with stick straight hair spending an hour curling their hair, and girls with curly hair spending an hour straightening their hair. It's like, how does this work, right? Like, just switch heads, right? That would be great. We want what we don't have, amen? And it's so hard because we look at celebrities. You guys have a battle. I talked about it last night. Your battle is just so intense because you get to watch it all play out, right? And celebrities, man, it is hard. You know, the difference between, like, tell me if you hear a difference in this. Jealousy is, I want what she has. Envy is, I want what she has and I don't want her to have it. One more time. Jealousy is, I want what she has. Envy is, I want what she has and I don't want her to have it. Do you feel the difference in that? And we wonder why women hate each other, and it's dramatic, amen? Here's the deal. Competition is real. I know it's real. When you see women around you, I know it's real. But here's the deal. You have to take the competition that you feel from Instagram and Snapchat and from that whole idea of seeing it play out on a screen, because it's not real. I want you guys to watch this with me. This is going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
What the heck, right? I want you to watch it one more time, and I want it to seep deep into your heart. Watch the very end. Watch her eyes and watch her neck, okay? Ready? Watch. One more time. Okay, here's the deal. You can't compete with that. Why would we compete with something that is not real? Amen? Everybody take a deep breath in. Let it out, right? I want you to take all of that competition from Instagram, and I just want you to like put it on the, I just want you to set it down off your heart onto the floor, and I want you to walk away from it and be like, you're not real. You don't stress me out anymore because it's not real. Amen? I love that video. I've seen it for years. I love it. Because it speaks a truth without words, amen? You guys, don't compete with what you see on Instagram. It's not real. Competition breeds insecurity. Competition kills joy. Amen? The second one I want to talk about is control. Any type A perfectionistic people pleasers out there like myself? Yeah, any perfectionists recovering? Good. There'll be therapy later. Join me. Do you like control? Do you have a plan for your life? Do you have a last name for your husband picked out? Do you like, right? Is your dress and your invitations, are they Pinterest on a secret, not so secret board? Oh yeah, they are, right? Do you like control? I always say, like, I think as women, we like take our plans and we like put our fingers around them and we hold them so tight our knuckles turn white, and then we just like put them against our chest, and then we start growling at people when they come by, right? Like, back off, right? Like, you know what you want, don't you? You have, like, we struggle with control as women, amen? We know what we want, and it gets nasty if you're gonna get in my way, right? This isn't public. I'm talking about the game in your mind, right? You're not mean, everyone's fine. Fine, I'm so good. You? Right? Like, everyone, we all know this is the game inside the head, amen? Like, this the women's talk is about upstairs and in here. And control is a real thing. You might not voice it, you might not talk about it, but you know what you want. And you know how closely you hold it to your chest and bark when people come near. The next one is confusion. If I walked around this entire arena and I put this mic up to you and I said, what does it mean to be a 21st century woman? What would you say? What does it mean to be a 21st century woman? What does it mean? What does it look like to be a woman in our world today? I would probably get a couple thousand different answers. Amen? Like, I don't know. Is there confusion about what it means to be a woman? Do you think you could define that? What does it look like? That's a tough question. You guys, I get letters from all over the world. I get letters in foreign languages that I have to try to find someone to help me translate. I have a love-hate for the internet, right? I love YouTube because I get to Skype and hang out with girls in Croatia, but I hate it because I know it's the devil's playground. He beats us up with it. And one of my life's missions is to make sure the Lord speaks through it. And when I get letters from all over the world, I've just learned that you guys, women are hurting, and we are not alone. I got a letter from a girl a couple months ago, and I asked her if it would be okay if I read it when I was preparing for this talk, because I think it really captures a lot of what us as women are going through. This is just one letter. I received countless, but I want to read it to you, and I want you to just sit with her and sit with me in the hurt. Sarah, I've been struggling to put into words everything that I'm feeling right now. My life has been spinning out of control, and I don't really know where to turn. I was sexually abused in junior high, and that set me on a path of destruction that included getting drunk, getting high, and even self-harm throughout most of high school. Hooking up and questioning everything about myself, especially my worth. Along with a life of partying also came pornography and all kinds of sexual sin. My friends used to tell me that I would make a great lesbian. For years, I struggled with why they would say that. And eventually, I started believing them and walked down that road. Because of the abuse in my past and my broken relationship with my own father, I do not trust men. But I guess I don't really trust women either. I don't know what I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. It's hard for me to feel loved. I think what I feel most of all is alone. I know that's a lot to hear, but I really liked your talk and I wanted to share this with you. Thank you for listening. And I've started to pray again. Please pray for me. I wish I could share all of my letters with you guys just so you knew you weren't alone. I gave a women's talk a couple years ago, and there's about 500 women, and I said, I passed out little pieces of paper, and I said, I want to know what you're struggling with. I want to go after where your heart is, and I passed out these pieces of paper. I said, write down a couple of the things that you're struggling with. And I started taking questions, started looking through them, and I ended up asking, I requested to have all of them put in a Walmart sack so I could take them. And I had this Walmart sack, and I went back to my hotel room, and I dumped them out on the hotel bed, and I just sat there, and I just read through them, and I just sobbed. I just cried. Because it was so heavy. And I took all of those little pieces of paper and I put them together and I put them on a slide so that you could see it. This is what the slide looked like. This is what the little pieces of paper said. What do you struggle with? Insecurities, fears, worries about the future, loneliness, communication struggles, past regrets, worries about the world, financial struggles, depression, anxiety, addictions, family members with addictions, sexual abuse, body image struggles, eating disorders, cutting, struggle with pornography, significant others struggle with pornography, sexual sin, significant other is distant from God and the church, my family is distant from God and the church, confusion about my gender and sexuality, same-sex attraction, wounds from the past, forgiving someone, forgiving yourself, self-hatred, lack of self-worth, lack of confidence, lack of trust in God. Everyone take a deep breath in. Let it out. Raise your hand if you struggle with one thing on that list. Keep your hand up. Now look at the women around you. Look at them and tell them that they're not alone. Say, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. I think sometimes, you guys, we look at the game in our head. What is it? This is just me. I'm the only one that's struggling with this. This is just too heavy. This was a room of 500 girls. Look at our room. You are not alone. I stand on this stage because I want to speak truth to your heart. This is the truth I want to speak to you. The devil loves to do three things. He loves to twist, divide, and isolate. He twists the truth about who you are as a woman, your identity as a beloved daughter of God. He twists the truth about your beauty and your worth, and he puts you in knots so that he can divide you out, so that he could isolate you and pick you off. Think about your life. Think about your struggles. Think about the times in your life. Look at the pattern. He twists, he divides, and he isolates. Is he really good at dividing women from each other? Is he really good at using control and competition and confusion to divide us out? How does he do it? He twists the truth. So how do we fight back? With the truth. Raise your hand if you ever felt isolated or alone. When he knows how to get to me, he gets me alone in my head, amen? That is how he messes with me. He twists the truth. He divides me out to isolate. Is he good at dividing us against the men? Don't raise your hand if you're a man hater, but I know there's women in here. I mean, I was cheated on. My boyfriend of 2 years cheated on me in college. I despised men for a while, a good while. I know men have hurt you. Last night, we talked about father wounds. Some of you have boyfriend wounds. Some of you have ex-boyfriend wounds. Some of you have mean boys in junior high wounds. The devil has completely twisted the way that we see men, amen? He wants men and women against each other. He wants you confused about who you are. That's what he wants. This is a good slide. Because we are wounded, the truth is harder to see and even harder for us to feel. And we know deep within our heart, for us to know that truth deep within our heart. God made us male and female, equal in dignity, but different. We complement one another, and we are made for communion with one another. Men and women, equal, different. I love going back to Genesis. When I told you guys last night that you're beloved daughters of God and the guys are beloved sons of God, right? What did he create? How did he create us? What did he create us for? This. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was his name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. In the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "At last. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." At last, a helper fit for him. The Lord desires us to be the helper of the man, for the man to be the helper of the woman. Why did our Lord choose the rib to take Eve from? Why didn't he use like the foot or the hand? I don't really know, but this is what I think. I think he chose the rib because that's where our Lord wants woman, at Adam's side, under his arm, and close to his heart. That's where we belong as women, whether it's with our dads, whether it's with our brothers, whether if you're called to marriage, it's with your husband, or it's with your guy friends. By their side, under their arm, close to their heart. Helpers. Is that what the world says that we are? What does the world tell you to do? Right? It's ugly. The Lord is trying to like breathe new life into what it means to be a woman, right? I want that truth to radiate in your heart. It looks something like this. Our bodies and souls form a unity. We are one thing. We cannot love our souls and hate our bodies or vice versa. It takes great courage to accept ourselves as we are and seek to glorify God in our bodies. The culture of self-hatred seeks to change the body at all costs. Make myself thinner, change my nose, even try to change my sexual identity. Let us seek to love ourselves as we are in our God-given identity, and let's seek to become all that God has created us to be. I prayed through this. I was talking to Swaff through this. I wrote this out. I'm like, this is it. Like, this is the slide I want them to have. We don't hate men. We're their helper. We don't hate our bodies. You guys, God gave you one body for this one life to glorify him. He doesn't make mistakes. He made you a woman, a strong, beautiful, confident woman, confident in his love for you and in your identity and worth. He made you that to glorify him through your body. You can't love your body and hate yourself, or hate yourself and love your body. They're one. If you struggle with this idea of men and women and who I'm supposed to be and my identity, just because you're a girl, for example, who loves sports, does not mean that you're really a boy trapped in a girl's body. Don't overdo stereotypes. Our sexual identity is a biological, God-given reality, but there are many ways of authentically living this out. I had a girl come up to me one time. She's like, Sarah, I love to hunt and fish, and I eat beef jerky like every day. Is that okay? And I was like, I have my own fantasy football team, and Buffalo Wild Wings is my favorite restaurant. Is that okay? Amen? Hey, is there a million ways to live this out? Yes? I love, you know, you do you, right? You do you. You do you is straight up relativism. But if you do you with Jesus Christ as king of your heart and holiness and virtue, yeah, you do you, girl. You rock that. You flaunt that. You work that with confidence as a beloved daughter of God. Amen? I say this sometimes, and I'm going to entrust you with it. Forget your flaws, flaunt your assets. What does that mean? As a modest, confident, beautiful, knowing my worth, calling out the cycle of use, loving my brothers in Christ, glorifying God in my body as a woman who loves the Lord. There's a saint that said, the Lord has set me on fire, and people come to watch me burn. I don't have a tattoo, but it's real close to being a tattoo on my body, right? Like, the Lord has set me on fire, and people come to watch me burn. That is what I want for you women. That is your identity. Don't get lost in what the world says. Don't let the world put you in stereotypes and put you in boxes. The Lord has made you you with your personality and your beauty as woman. Not to walk all over men, not to compete with men, not to walk all over women or to compete with other women, but to be the helper, the helpmate fit for the man. And life be hecka hard for us women, right? Is it hard to be a woman? Is it? Let's take the pledge. Everybody, raise your right hand. I promise you, Sarah, from this day forward, I will not make life harder on another woman. Amen. Now look at the women around you and say, I mean it, 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 I mean it. You're beautiful. I love you. Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. What's my daughter's name? Kate. Why is she named Kate? For St. Catherine of Siena. Why is that important to me? Because this is my motto in my life. Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. God didn't mean for you to be to the girl next to you. God didn't mean for you to be Cardi B. One of my favorite things that has ever happened to me in ministry in my entire life, I had a girl come up to me, and it was in Cali, and she's just sobbing, and I'm just holding her, and I'm just praying for her, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on in her life, and she pulled back, and I said, are these good tears? Are these happy tears? Are these sad tears? Like, what is this? And she looked at me, and she goes, until today, Beyonce was my role model, but you're my new Beyonce. And she cried in my arms. And I did not know what to do with myself, and I just loved every minute of that. Do you know why? Because Beyonce came off the wall and Jesus Christ went up on the wall. Because what she loves in me is the fire that I burn with Jesus Christ. I burn with my love for him, you guys, my identity in him. I'm broken, I'm wounded, I'm just with you, I'm right here with you. But I sit in the gaze that I was talking about last night. I sit in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. St. Faustina says, curl up in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and let the Father gaze upon you and lavish his love upon you for who you are. I curl up in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and I ask the Father to remind me of who I am every day. The struggle is real. Being a woman is not easy. But he breathes life into us, amen? We have a gift that we can give the world. You have a gift that you can give the world, and I want you to do you. You do it the way that he has asked you to do it, which is body, soul, mind, heart, all of it. Beautiful as a woman of God. Watch for the devil to twist, divide, and isolate. You're seeing it, aren't you? You see where he wants to break that down. Trust. Remember we were talking about control? We hold our plans so tightly to our heart. God the Father created you. He knows how you work. He has a blueprint for your life. He knows how you're going to best operate. And we sit here and go, no, God, I got this. 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 And he's like, hi, can I just see it? Like, let me just see your plans. Let's chat about it. We'll have a coffee. It'll be great, right? And I'm like, no, don't mess it up. I don't want to have to growl at you, God, right? Like, he pries our fingers off our plans, right? One of the things I try to do in my life is I try to live my life with open hands and not clenched fists, because God cannot put new beauty into clenched fists. He'll try to hand me beauty, but my hands are clenched around something that I think I need or want. And he says, Sarah, open your hands. I'm going to put new beauty into it. Let go. You got good ideas, but mine are better, girl. Like, you got good ideas. I appreciate you trying, but I have better ideas for you, right? I want you guys to put your hands out. Just hold your hands out like that. Just hold your hands out like that. Repeat after me. Jesus, I trust you to put more beauty in my life than I could ever imagine. I let go of my plans, for I know yours are better. Amen. Do you know her? Yeah. Get it, girl. I know her. I know her. Hi, can we just take in her beauty real quick? Hi. One of my favorite parts of scripture is how the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, right? 14-year-old girl. Hi, you're pregnant. Hi, this is going to be intense on your life. Hi, do you think Mary had a plan for her life? Do you think it included being the mother of God? She was 14. Hi, God. I had other plans. And the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. I pray that prayer almost every day. Come, Holy Spirit, animate my soul, overshadow me. That's why I love this picture. Do you see the dove above her head? She's gorgeous. If you ever get tripped up on what a true woman in the 21st century would look like, or what true femininity looks like, you know right where to go, don't you? It is Our Lady. Our Lady. Do you think Mary was a pushover? Do you think Mary didn't share her ideas when they were phenomenal? Do you think Mary sat and spent time with every single apostle because they were dying to get time with her? Mary knows how to love as a woman. She is strong and she is beautiful and she is confident. And she says, come to me and I will wrap you in my mantle and I will teach you how to be a woman. She's gorgeous. If you get lost, trust in the fact that you can go to her and she can speak truth into your womanhood, into your beauty, into who you are. I love the image of sometimes, I get visual prayers, I don't know. I love the image sometimes when I'll like go to adoration and I will just imagine like laying my head on Mary's chest. Like you know how a mom like cuddles, like, you know, like the mom cuddle, right? Like the, it's kind of soft. It's a blanket. It's like a pillow there, right? Like, are men and women different? Yeah. Men are like chiseled and hard and not super comfortable. Women, we're comfortable. It's good. So if you're trying to lose an extra 10 pounds, don't. It's comfortable. Just let it happen. Amen? So you like lay your head on Mary's chest, right? And I imagine her putting her hand over my, like my head's to the side, and I imagine her putting her hand over my ear so that it just drowns out everything, drowns out all the noise, and all I can hear is her heartbeat. And she whispers words of affirmation to me. Let her whisper words of affirmation to you. Drown out the world. When the world gets loud, put your head against her chest. Let her pull you close and love you. Let her show you what it means to be beautiful and cared for and what that looks like to give that to the world. Last one, tribe. I need you to get a squad and a posse and a tribe, get a hashtag and a t-shirt. Girls, we need to bond together and sink and take over the world. Yes? More than anything, I know, this is going to turn into a girl power talk real quick. Here's the deal. I do ministry all over the world. I look into the eyes of girls all the time, and they look back at me and they go, I don't have a friend. I don't have a friend. I don't have a friend that loves Jesus. Like, Sarah, I'm so alone. My mission in my life is to make sure that no one ever feels alone or isolated ever again. It's hard to be a woman. We know what it's like. Let's not make it harder on each other. But how do we do that? Three steps. Three steps to having amazing squad, tribe, get it together, girls. Here, let's rock this kind of stuff. Three things, ready? Availability, vulnerability, and accountability. They all suck. Here we go. Availability, vulnerability, and accountability. No one wants to be available, right? Like, we got our own stuff to do. Sitting with Oreos with three girls and letting them pour their life out isn't always the most life-giving. We know that, right? Is it hard to be available? Is it hard to put your phone down and be like, no, I am here, I am in, let's go, let's figure out your life. Yes, it's gonna take 8 hours, but I am here. We will go and get more Oreos, right? Like, it's okay. Like, we are here, let's figure this out. It is hard to be available, yes? Because you have your own stuff, you have your own stuff. It's hard to be vulnerable. It is hard to look at other women and be like, yeah, I'm jealous of you and I compete with you and I'm just really sorry. Yeah, I actually wanna date your boyfriend, it's a problem. Yeah, actually. And when you hold hands, I want to rip your hands off. I want to rip your arms off, actually, right? Just being really honest, right? I'm feeling super single today, like super single. Like, they're single, and then there's like, I'm super single right now, right? Like, it's hard to be vulnerable and to say, I'm struggling with this. It's hard to look at women and say, I'm struggling with pornography or masturbation or it's my sexual identity or I'm struggling with cutting. Or, you know what? I have self-hate. I hate myself. It is hard to look at women and say those things. But what happens when you do? I stand on a stage before you. One of my best friends in college, she had a really tough relationship with her father. And she couldn't, she wanted control over men because she could not be properly loved by her dad. She had a lot of father wounds and she would take them out on other men. And there was a time where we got really close, and she admitted a lot of things to me, and she looked at me and she goes, if I start walking out the door at like 1 a.m. to go on a walk with a guy, I need you to call me out and tell me not to go. Because you know where I'm going. And I was like, okay. So a couple weeks later, she's like getting dressed up. It's like late. 2 a.m. walks with guys is never a good idea. Just throw that out. Okay, so it's like getting late, and like I'm sitting on the couch like working on like doing homework or something, and she like reaches for the door. I'm like, hey, where are you going? She's like, out. I'm like, oh, good, with who? Out. John, out, what? I'm like, nothing, I just, is that a good idea? I don't know, like, remember that conversation we had where you were like, call me out? She's like, she blew up at me, slammed the door, left. And I was like, well, that went smashingly, right? Sarah for the win. And I sat there and I was like, oh crap, that's bad, right? And I sat there for like 10 minutes. And I just was sitting there and all of a sudden our dorm room door flies open. She comes running to me, jumps in my lap, puts her arms around my shoulders and was like, thank you. Thank you. And she cried and I cried, right? Like, what do you think that did for our friendship? What do you think that did for us? Like, we're best friends, right? We've been for years. I'm old, remember? Like, that bonded us like nothing else. And what did it do? It led to more vulnerability. It led to more accountability. Dude, if I can tell you my deepest, darkest struggles, and I can trust you with that, and I can be vulnerable with that, and then you can hold me accountable, do you think we grew in our relationship, and do you think we grew in virtue and in our relationship with the Lord, right? She and I we created in my book, I talk about the modesty challenge, the closet challenge. That was her and I getting creative one night. So we went through our entire closet. This is the closet challenge. You go through your entire closet. You try on everything in your wardrobe, like everything. And you put on a little fashion show with your best friend, and your best friend decides if it's modest, not you. Why? Because we are emotionally attached to our clothing. Because if you get a compliment in something, you're like, oh, I'm going to wear this every day for a week. Actually, this is just my staple now, right? Like, you're emotionally attached to your clothing. So whenever someone, like, looks at you and is like, yeah, no, that won't work. So then we invited the girls down the hall, and we had this huge party where we like swapped clothes, because if it wasn't modest for you, but maybe it fits her. And then we had this one pile where it was just a bunch of clothes that we burned because they're not appropriate for anybody, right? Like, have a swap and then have a burn party. It's actually very fun, right? But that bonded us, right? Availability, vulnerability, accountability. Will you promise me that you will start looking at women in your life and say, let's run, let's do this, let's go? Notice I didn't say it was a click. I hate them. Don't exclude anyone. Do you know what it's like to be alone? Please help me on this mission to never, I mean, you know, close your eyes right now. See in your mind the girl in your life that you know feels alone and that you want to invite into your life. And you know it's gonna be hard. You know that you're gonna have to be available. You know that it's gonna be difficult at times, but you wanna love her well. And then I want you to think about the girl in your life. See her face. This girl who you know has been calling you into a relationship with her, but you've been dodging that gaze because you're afraid of what might happen if you run with her. Do you see her? See the face of the girl that you want to run after and go get. And see the face of the girl who's been coming after you and you've been pushing her away. See both of those girls. Okay, now open your eyes and look at my face. That's the beginning of your tribe. You got three. Now go invite 300 more, right? Be good to each other. It's hard. Finding your tribe is hard. I know that. Dude, I just love you guys. I want to read you guys something. It's really close to my heart. Probably one of the most life-changing little paragraphs I've ever come across. I want you to open your hands, and I want you to put them out in front of you, and I want you to receive this. I want you to receive what I'm about to tell you. Imagine God as a sculptor. Each person is a unique, unfinished work of art. If we admit this image, inevitably questions arise about what it would take to complete and beautify the work. We can see how easily we impose our own ideas on the process of completion. Frequently, we set about in a frantic haste to embellish, to hasten toward finality, to add our own finishing touches, and to adorn ourselves as we see best. We want to be attractive to behold. We want to stand out from a crowd, to attract interest and the notice of others. We convince ourselves that this will somehow make us happy. We seek jewels and adornments, but we seek them not for the sake of beauty. We want to have and to have more, to let others know we have more, so that rather than our wishing we had better lives, they can look at us and wish their lives were better. We slip into this mode. We miss the fundamentals. Of much greater importance is to see the foundation, the sculpture itself, and to see it unfinished. In prayer, we must work to recognize that a loving master sculptor has crafted each human person uniquely. By design, no two works of this sculptor are ever the same. Rather than chasing after embellishments, a better starting point lies in two related questions. How can I best adorn the face of creation? And how can I best reflect the genius of the sculptor and thereby shine the splendor of God into the hearts of all those who come into my life? Perhaps not the first questions that come to mind, but they bring us into harmony with the mind of the Almighty. This book changed my life. It's a book called Lift Up Your Heart. Remember I was telling you about my cool, ridiculously cool, amazing priest friend last night, Father John Burns? He wrote this book. This book changed the way I pray, changed the way I live, changed the way that I see my life. When I was doing ministry, I said, I will read this at every women's talk I ever give for the rest of my life. Because it's exactly what I want you to know. It's exactly what I want you to have. I brought a bunch of these. I have a bunch of these, about 200 of these books. And they sit right next to this book, which is a book that, to be totally honest, I wrote it as a, it's a letter to you. Jason Everett told me I had to start writing this down or he'd be mad at me, and I don't want to make Jason Everett mad. So I started writing you a letter. If I could go to coffee with you, if I could go to dinner with you, if I could go to lunch with you, if we could just go up there right now, I would sit with you for 4 hours. I would listen. I would love you. And I would just hand you this book and be like, this is everything I want you to know. And I want you to put it in your little cute purse. And I want you to take me with you. And I want you to take this book and I want you to read it with your squad. And I want you to get real with each other. And I wrote it for the men. It's for men and women, because the men, I want them to drive this train. I want them to lead and protect you. Amen. I want to be with you. This is how my way of being with you is putting this in your back pocket. I have girls that read it every month as just a reminder for what they want. What do I want in my life? It's all of this and more. Father John speaks truth to my heart through that book in my life. I want the women in your life and the men in your life to speak truth to your heart. And sometimes it comes in the form of books, and sometimes it comes in the form of shirts. This is my squad shirt. It says drama free. I love it when the men wear it. Really attractive, right? I got girly and we couldn't decide, so we made it in all these different colors, right? Because girls just, we can't decide, right? Then the guys were like, we want to make a shirt. My minions, my males, they're like, dude, let's make a shirt. So they made the Just Say No to Drama shirt. Just Say No to Drugs and Drama, they go together, amen? And then my other girls were like, no, we want a squad shirt. So they made this one. It says, be beautiful. I think you got that from this talk, yeah? Be you. And then we made them in maroon because I just like it. I come to you because I want you to be so deeply caught up into this gaze that I'm talking about. I want you to sit in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I want God the Father to be able to pour into you the truth of who you are. And I want you to trust him. And then I want you to be so close to your tribe, because they're gonna be the ones that are gonna be there to speak truth into your life. Reading these books, taking everything that you're hearing here and pouring it into your life so that it's written on your heart. Because up in your head, I know it's hard. In the quiet and in the loneliness and when you go home and it just doesn't look like this. I want this to be so deeply rooted on your heart. I love you. I fight for you. One of my favorite people in the world is Sarah Kroger. And she's sitting next to me. And when I listen to her CDs and when I think about just in my life, beautiful women, I have a lot of beautiful women in my life. You know a lot of them. The fact that we're all here together this weekend, the fact that we get to pray with Sarah, the fact that we get to be here as women, the fact that we get to pray in a moment for the men, because I love them, and I want them to lead this train. I want you guys to soak this in. The Lord is fueling you here this weekend. He's giving you truths. Sarah and I want to pray with you as women after Mary's heart, after Jesus' heart, in the gaze of the Father. Will you pray with us? Will you let this wash over you? Will you let the Lord show you and tell you, maybe for the first time, that you're worthy and you're loved?